update on himself, and also to bring us the sermon today is our pastor, Mr. Jim Russell.
Well, thank you, Mr. Fleming, and let me greet all to welcome you all to the Church of God in Truth, as Mr. Fleming did here in Missouri. He gave a little bit of a forecast. I'll give a little bit of a forecast from here. Here in Missouri, we're having a cold, 35-degree temperature, cloudy, on this beautiful Sabbath day, as God has made it very beautiful. And so we're very pleased to know that we didn't get the 4 to 8 inches of snow that was predicted last week. And I might have mentioned in the announcements last week when I was talking with you then. I'm not just sure. But anyway, we were glad we didn't get that much snow here, nor did we get really any moisture at all, outside of just a little dew in the mornings. But anyway, welcome again. Here, let me welcome you again to the Church of God in Truth. As you know, we usually try to start off services with the prayer and then announcements after the singing and songs to God, and very blessed to be able to come before Him and praise Him and give Him the glory that He truly has blessed upon us. On the announcements here, on the prayer requests and updates, we received an email from Ernesto Allen in California, and I just want to pass it on what he said to us. He said, "Dear brethren, please pray for my younger brother, Arthur Allen. He has been diagnosed as liver cancer, and the doctors are still doing more tests. So please pray for him and his family that God will intervene." And he wants to thank all of us in advance in Christ's love, and that is from him and his wife, Evelyn. So it's very much on my prayer list, and I know you will put it on yours. His brother's name is Arthur Allen. And I know that that we'll hear more from him and keep us updated. And so we'll just pass that on to you now. And when Ernesto learns more, he will pass it on to us. Another update here is from Michael Filipovich. Has an update for us here from his niece, Stephanie. If you remember, we've been asking prayer for her. Her tumor was removed, and it was removed successfully, he said, but the results of the test have not come back yet. And he said she is doing fine and is all right, so she obviously has been relieved of some of that suffering that she was feeling from having that. But she's still, like he said, is still waiting for results to see what kind of condition it really is that she had there. Also, Mike says that his sister Patty is asking prayer still for having that trouble with her breathing. He said that she'll be able to get into see a doctor next month, so I don't quite understand what the holdup is on that, but it sounds like she's already made the appointment, and it'll be next month, within a couple of weeks here, that she'll be able to get in and get some diagnosis on what's exactly this problem with her throat, and why she's having that and what's causing it and so forth. So anyway, be sure to keep her in your prayers, and as well as the other ones that you have on your prayer list as well, knowing that we are going to try to keep up to date with everybody that has a problem. As they let us know, we just pass it on so you will be advised on it as well. It does keep us busy on our knees, knowing God has a very busy schedule, as he has a lot of people talking to him and a lot of people that he's paying attention to and answering prayers for. And so the great God that we worship is able to do that, and what a blessing it is to know that. Well, I just want to thank all of you again, as I did last week, for praying for me, as I'm still having this problem that I had last week. The sprained ankle still bothered me a little bit, but anyway, it's getting better, and I know I really appreciate all the prayers you've sent to our Creator for that healing of it. Also, the 3 or 4 boils that came to a head here are slowly healing, which I'm happy about that, because it's very, very sore and tender. But anyway, it looks like there's still about 2 more or so yet to come to heads. And as I said, they're really, really sore and tender to touch and to deal with. And they ever so often just kind of bleed. So it's something that is a kind of a nuisance because it's around my neck and where my shirts and so forth are. But anyway, I know God's going to take care of that, and I want to thank all of you again for your prayers, because I know that God will answer them, and He is answering them, and I really do appreciate it that you've taken time to do that. We did receive the proof back for the January-February magazine, which we're very glad to see that that came back, and we've got it in now into the actual printing stages of the magazine being put together. The cover came out real good. We were very happy with it. And it's also, we know that it's going to be important to have for the upcoming year, and the word and God's word that's in there for us to read and to study and to know His truth and to be truly growing from it. So anyway, that's about the update that I have with the announcements here. We do truly appreciate God allowing us, like I said in the prayer, to come together on His Sabbath to learn His truth. And we are going to be reading from God's Word here today to get some truth, because it is a very important blessing to have His Word before us and to learn things from it, because one day we are going to be in the shoes that He's in, and we are going to be God's, as He has told us from His Word. I believe that, and I pray you do too. But today we're going to talk about world history, and what the world history confirms, what the Bible boldly declares, is that the establishment and the future of a city, a territory, a nation, or an empire is determined by the Lord concerning the creation of a nation. Something that we need to be ourselves aware of. So I would like for you today during the sermon to try to keep up a little bit here with turning to scriptures with me. And I will try to slow down a little bit enough where you have time to do that. But we're going to start here with a scripture over in the book of Acts. A very easy book to find in God's Word, because I'm sure we've been in and out of it a lot. In Acts in chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. Here in Acts 17 and verse 26, it says, "And He," that is speaking of God, "has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." That's a very important subject that we need to know and have an understanding of, as God's called, being His children, being His groomed to become God's. The prophet Jeremiah explains in the book in chapter 18, verses 7 and 8, is how the future of a nation is determined. That is in Jeremiah chapter 18. And verses 7 and 6 is what I want to read there. And it will say, tell us how the future of a nation is determined. And I think we should all want to know that, at least from God's perspective, if we are to be putting into practice what He teaches us. And in verse 7 of Jeremiah 18, it says, "The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it." Continuing that thought in verse 9 and 10, "And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said, which said I would benefit it." Today's sermon, we will be taking a look at the epic tales of two infamous cities. Those two cities is called, one of them is Nineveh, and the other, Jerusalem. You know, looking at these two comparison cities will determine for us which one of these locations best characterize America's current spiritual condition. You know, if such a historical comparison can be applied now, then the relevant question, I think, is, should America find hope in Jeremiah 18, verses 7 and 8, with the story of Nineveh at the time of Jonah, or feel despaired in the story of Jeremiah 18, 9 and 10, which describes Jerusalem at the time of the Babylonian conquest? So comparing these two cities is what we're going to be looking at here today in the sermon as we look into the very living words of God. Well, to determine the answer, let's purpose to examination of these two cities that will address, we will address as Nineveh behavior and the Jerusalem behavior. That's kind of a title I put on those. I think it kind of describes what we're going to be looking at here today out of God's word on them. And so that's why it's a behavior of these, and they're two separate behaviors. Well, we'll look at the Nineveh behavior here first as we start the sermon. It seems in many ways that America is like Nineveh. You know, the wickedness of Nineveh was so great that God effectively said it was recognized up in heaven. You can read that in Jonah 1 and verse 2. There it says, the sin of Nineveh was come before me. So America is at such a state today. It's pretty easy, if you know any of the story of Nineveh, that we could see America in that program of Nineveh. Their behavior before, we'll read some scriptures on that, and behavior after, we'll read some scriptures on that. But Nineveh's behavior has its origin in the 8th century BC, before Jeremiah 18, 7 and 10 was even written. It is rooted in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. Go over there with me, over here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and in verse 14. There it starts off with, if my people, that's talking about you and me and them. Here in Jeremiah 18, verse 7, says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, these words spoken primarily dealt with the Lord's response to King Solomon's petition for the protection of the nation of Israel around 957 BC. You know, they apparently also laid the groundwork for the Lord's treatment toward other nations that were around at that time. The Assyrian city, this Assyrian city of Nineveh at the time of Jonah, about 760 BC, proclaims Nineveh, the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, was ultimately destroyed around 612 BC. You know, however, the empire had become exceedingly evil long before that date, before they came to an end. At the height of its wickedness, the Lord sent Jonah, a prophet, to warn the Ninevites of the fast approaching destruction. And we find that evidence in Jonah 3 and verse 4. In Jonah 3 and verse 4. There we read, "And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, Yet for 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Well, Jonah's warning was well received by the king and the people of Nineveh. You know, they took it upon themselves to turn from their evil ways, and Nineveh received a stay of execution. We read that here in Jonah 3 and in verse 10, just dropping down there from verse 4 that we just read. Here in Jonah 3 and in verse 10, it says, "Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." So the Assyrians at that time have never been classified as God's people, or as my people, as God has put it many times in his word that we find. But the fact that they repented and turned from their evil ways changed their spiritual standing with God, changed their spiritual standing with our Lord. With the historical precedence of 2 Chronicles 7:14 and Jonah 3:10 already in place, Jeremiah 18:7 and 8 enforced this Nineveh principle. You know, if an evil people repent and turn from their wicked ways, the Lord will relent from bringing a disaster upon them. Well, let's now examine, we just looked at Nineveh and a fast tune of what exactly went on there in Nineveh, the story of it, which most of us know very well. I'm sure we've read it many times. But now I want to examine the sharp contrast of Nineveh behavior to the Jerusalem behavior. The Jerusalem behavior applies when a nation reaches a point of no return and the Lord determines that its destruction will not be postponed. Very straightforward, very quickly, things can happen. Well, this happened to the city of Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah about 2,700 years ago. This is during the time of the Hebrew prophets Jeremiah. And here we're going to find from Jeremiah, three times Jeremiah was told to stop praying for the people of Judah, that is, the house of Judah. I want to read this over here in Jeremiah 7. You'll go over there with me. We're going to read reference to this. I want to make sure that we get it planted in our thinking here as we move forward with the sermon. In Jeremiah 7, and in verse 16, "Therefore, do not pray for the people, nor lift up a cry or a prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem?" We find this said again over here in verse 14 of Jeremiah 11. In Jeremiah 11 and in verse 14, it says, "So do not pray for these people or lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cried out to me because of their troubles, because of their sins, because of their iniquities." So the third time we find it witnessed of this being said here in Jeremiah 14, verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah 14, we're still in that book, verses 11 and 12. Says, "Then the Lord said to me, Do not pray for these people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence." So after Jeremiah received these instructions, that is to quit praying for the people of Judah, he forewarned them of their impending judgment, because God was not ignoring them. He recognized their situation. You know, the people were captured, and he transported them into the Babylonian captivity, where they remained for 70 years. And that 70 years was a long period for them to be in captivity, as Scripture tells us they were. But their homeland, while they sat here over there for 70 years, their homeland sat desolate during that period. Notice here Jeremiah 25, and we're going to read verses 4 through 8. In Jeremiah 25, verse 4 through 8, I want to read. In verse 4 it says, "And the Lord has sent to you all of his servants and prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said," the prophet said, "Repent now every one of his evil ways and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods." Pretty clear instructions here that God's laying down to them. "Do not go after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and do not reprove me to anger that with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me. You have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words," we find in verse 11, "and this whole land shall be desolate and as astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So they were penalized at 70 years because they were not obeying God. We very clearly read there in verses 4 to 7 or 4 to 8 there. They weren't doing what God had asked them to do. Yet I'm sure that they would love to have had all the blessings God was wanting to give them, but they sure were not earning them. But in God's foreknowledge, the Lord knew that the house of Judah would not have a Nineveh or a 2 Chronicles 7:14 moment of repentance. You know, Jeremiah's intercessory prayers on behalf of Judah would have no effect on the Lord's decision, and he was told to cease praying for the people. And the Lord explains why over here in Jeremiah 7 and verse 27. If you want to turn over there with me, Jeremiah 7 and in verse 27. Verse 27 in Jeremiah 7, "Therefore you," that is Jeremiah, "shall speak all these words unto them in Judah, but they will not obey, but they will not obey you. You shall also call them, but they will not answer you." Has anything changed here today? As you know, if you've been listening to any sermons out of the Church of God in Truth, you can tell that many of the sermons that we bring up to the house of Judah, and they still will not repent and change and follow God's word, ignoring Jesus Christ, came to do some real salvation for them, and they fully ignored that and are still ignoring it to this very day. Well, Jeremiah was informed that the people of Judah would not respond, that is, to his warnings in the similar way that the people of Nineveh did, that is, to Jonah's forewarnings. And as for the providing of forgiveness that we read earlier, given in Jeremiah 18:7-8, that was said, "The instant I speak concerning the nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation again against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will repent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it." We're going to be repeating that particular verse ever so often throughout the sermon, because it needs to be planted deeply into our thinking and recognizing God's wants us to change and correct and stop sinning. And yet we don't seem to want to do that. We want to continue our own old ways, and that is what God is talking about here, that He will not relent and let you get away with it. So if the house of Judah would have repented like Nineveh did, then the Lord would certainly have relented from judgment. You know, however, due to their evil doings and disobedience, the Lord implemented the provision of judgment, that is according to Jeremiah 18:9-10, which were the following verses of 7 and 8 that we had read, which was ultimately executed through the Babylonian conquest. So 9 and 10 of Jeremiah 18 that we read, "And the instant I speak concerning the nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it." So you can see both sides of the story. It's up to us. It's up to the individual. You know, the people of Judah forsook their God, Jehovah, and became idolatrous. Jeremiah 19, verse 4 through 9, I think provides the indictment of the verdict for which the house of Judah was given. These verses paint a graphic picture of despair, and they are summarized here in Jeremiah 19. If you turn over there, we'll look at your own verses in the Bible here. I'm not going to read all those verses, but we'll be paraphrasing them to shorten it just a little bit for you. But the meaning is there, what we need to mean to get out of those verses. Here in Jeremiah 19, verses 4 to 5 says, being paraphrased here, "The people forsook the Lord and alienated him from Judah. They worshiped false gods instead. They sacrificed the innocent blood of their children to the false god Baal. Their children's sacrifices offended the Lord." Those are the main meanings that you would be out, get out of those particular verses from 4 to 5. And next we can read here the verdict of Judah, a judgment in the form of a slaughter would come. Here in Jeremiah 19:6-9, the counselors of Judah would provide foolish counsel. The people of Judah would be killed by the sword of their enemies. Their corpses would be eaten by the vultures and the wild animals. Scripture goes on to tell us the land would be desolate and contaminated with plagues. The survivors would become cannibals in order to survive, and that they would eat their children, their sons, and their daughters due to their despair. That's how hard up they got to eat. You know, it's important to note here that the Lord told Adam and Eve in Genesis 1, 22-28, and Noah, his three sons, in Genesis 9, verses 1-7, to be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. That goal was to populate the earth with godly offsprings. And that's not what we're reading here in Jeremiah 19, is what happened. These people thumbed their nose at God and His ways, as he was telling them a way that they could be having a great life, a blessed life, but they, like I said, turned their faces from God and ignored him, ignored the words that he was trying to help them understand to bring peace in their own life. But contrary to the Lord's command, the people of Judah were murdering and ultimately reduced to eating their children. That is a horrible thing. I remember when those verses were first shown me in the church, almost made you kind of sick to your stomach to even believe those kind of things would even be mentioned, especially in God's Word. But it's caused because of sin, because of man's sin, man of ignoring what God gives him a choice to do. That's why it's important that we go through services and sermons on choices, bringing up various characters that have character that we need to have to give us to make the right choice and not end up with things that we're talking about here today, ending up starving and all of a sudden annihilating our children and eating them, cutting them into pieces. Horrible. But the Jerusalem principle depicts what has historically happened when judgment and destruction occurs to an evil people who forsake the Lord. You know, we need now to look at America's indictment, because America has taken God out of the public debate, and God has called, we need to put him back in, because we are his called. We are the ones that study his word, read his word, devour his word, and knowing that the right from wrong, and that we are learning to make right choices because of the blessing that he shows us we would be given if we make the right choice. Well, we are witness today the famine of God's word. And, you know, we're living and seeing God's teachings trampled upon. It's so obvious today, it's getting sickening to read it. Can't believe America, with all the blessings it's been given, is turning its nose away and wanting to do what exactly we're talking about here today, that Nineveh was doing before Jonah came and told them what God was going to do. Well, what is predicted to happen? What is predicted to happen today? Notice over here Amos. Go over here to the Old Testament. Amos chapter 8. Get some more information from God that we need to take in here today to drink in with this sermon. Amos chapter 8 and verses 11 and 12 are the two verses I want to read. Here in Amos 8, starting in verse 11, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." Throughout history, nations and empires have been judged and destroyed for transgressing biblically defined moral and spiritual boundaries. We've already read some of those boundaries as we read through the behavior of Jerusalem and the behavior of Nineveh. You know, boundaries such as sexual perversion, idol worship, wickedness, and moral decadence. You know, America now is in the danger zone of these things. It has crossed every forbidden biblical boundary and is so doing has forsaken God, taken God out of the picture, removed God. that was clearly being seen was clearly being seen. Well, over the past 60 years, we have seen America transgress dangerous boundaries. We've talked about them before, and we're going to talk about them here a minute again, because we do not want to forget them, because we don't want to follow them. In 1962, we seen the removal of prayer in the public schools by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court made that judgment rule. In 1963, we watched the removal of Bible reading in the public schools by the Supreme Court again. In 1973, we witnessed legalized abortion by the Supreme Court. And since then, America has performed over 60 million abortions. Presently, about 1 million abortions currently every year in America. It's a very sick kid. In 1980 and forward, posting a copy of the Ten Commandments on the wall in a public classroom were unlawful, or in a hallway of a school, it was unlawful. And having the Ten Commandments in front of a courthouse were ruled unlawful. In 2013, more here up to date, the Supreme Court struck down the defiance of the Defense of Marriage Act, DUMA. In 2015, the Supreme Court ruled to favor of the same-sex marriages. That is God's final law before a nation falls. We all need to be aware of that. Reading the history of various cities and towns, when they got so perverted to do such, they fell. They were no longer a town or a city. The former United States President Barack Hussein Obama was the most pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, and anti-religious president in America's history. He still holds that title. He still holds, in my thinking, that title when I can put it, compare it to God's word that I read. You know, he has advanced the famine of God's teachings in the Judeo-Christian nation here of America while trying to hand the United States of America over to the United Nations to be a governed, be our governor, governed overseers. These forewarnings have come in the forms of judgments, prophetic voices, and ultimately by giving them the ungodly leaders they deserve. For instance, in 2015, the Obama White House administration had turned its back on the nation of Israel, the little tiny nation of Israel that we have supported, who is a part of our family of Israel. Remember Iran? Remember Iran's nuclear deal that Obama believed was a good deal? So good, he gave them a pot load of our money by night undercover that got discovered, that he didn't want to be discovered. Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu believed that it was the worst deal imaginable when that particular deal was going on between him and Iran. A poll conducted at that time by the panel's politics in Tel Aviv confirmed the concerns of Israel was having about U.S. President Barack Obama. The poll overwhelmingly rated him as the worst president for Israel to deal with in the last 30 years. That hasn't stopped. He's still trying to be president of the United States of America. He's still trying to remove God from the United States of America. You know, the Lord has provided ample warnings, I think, to the USA that we are headed for destruction. And why are we headed toward destruction? Because of our sins. Cry aloud, spare not. God tells us, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. That's a responsibility of God's church. That's a responsibility of you and me under being ambassadors for God's word, God's truth, God's ways. At this point in the sermon, we have looked at two city characters. Nineveh was first, and then we checked into the city of Jerusalem. So which of these two cities does America most resemble today? Forgiven Nineveh or judged Jerusalem? Have to put on a little thinking cap there. You know, most would agree that once upon a time the Lord planted, built up, and blessed this nation of the USA. You know, this would connect the USA with Jeremiah 18 and verse 9, which said, "And the intent I speak concerning the nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it." It appears safe to also suggest that from the lawless Supreme Court's decisions that I provided you earlier, some dates that we read, that America has taken God out of the public debate. Thank you, Obama. No longer a White House, but a Black House. And Trump's trying to get the paint back on it to be white. That God's word be taught from there. You know, America, taking God's out of the public debate, if the Lord's voice is not even in the public debate, then how can we be obeying God's say-so in the importance of matters of this country? That you and I are so blessed to sit down at peace and eat a meeting meal. A lot of countries don't have that peace around them. They eat on the run with a gun on their shoulder. You know, if we are not obeying the Lord's commands, then we are doing evil in His sight. Judge yourself. I have to judge myself. Too many times I'm guilty. Not happy about that. And I'm sure you're not either. You know, this would connect us to look like that of Sodom and Gomorrah at the time of Abraham around 2000 BC. Like I said, Sodom and Gomorrah disappeared because of their sexual immorality, of their decisions to do things the opposite of what God's telling them to do or to live by. Which, in its worst conditions, led to children being sacrificed, which resulted in the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC, and the southern kingdom of Judah in 586 BC, which caused the ultimate destruction of the Assyrian Empire around 612 BC by the Babylonians and the Medes. God took care of that situation. We just read of people that helped, that he used to get that situation straightened out. You know, pagan nations ministering the house of Israel will be cursed, according to Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. Here in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And I will make you," that's talking to us. We need to listen to what God is telling us when he says you. "I will make of you," here in Genesis 12 and verse 2, "a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of this earth be blessed." The United States has fed this world for many years, but all that's coming to a grinding halt. A big stop sign is going up. You know, this policy pertains to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. That is talking about the house of Israel and the house of Judah today. We know who these people are. We know who we are. God's blessed us to have those that he's chosen to help us understand those things. Your blessings are in store for those who treat the house of Israel favorably. But trouble are guaranteed to them that curse the house of Israel. In every instance, the destruction caused unbearable sufferings and hardships to everyone, including believers of God and unbelievers that did not heed the prophetic warnings given in advance by the Hebrew prophets. That's talking about going through God's Word, starting at the beginning. Daniel 5 and verse 24 says, "Many, many tekel upharsin," meaning God has numbered your kingdoms and finished it. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided. Is our government divided today? Does that verse not tell us? Yes, it does. In June 26, 2015, is when the Supreme Court approved same-sex marriages and gay rights got their way. That was June 26, 2015, not that long ago. And like I said before, that was Sodom and Gomorrah's last sin. Homosexuality was so rampant, God had to destroy it. And the trouble is, too many times God had made decisions for the prophets to make decisions on correcting various things, and they didn't obey the prophets or the ones that told them to get things straightened out in their life. Well, read with me again here, Jeremiah 18. And verse 10 in connection with the United States of America. We're going to do a little adding to and taking away here, as God says not to do. But it's in the right light, and you'll see what I mean. It says in verse 10, of Jeremiah 18, "If it," meaning like a nation, a USA, "does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then," what then? "Then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it." So let's now substitute America for Jerusalem and Judah in Jeremiah 7:16 to see if the shoe fits. Jeremiah 7 and verse 16, it says, "Therefore, do not pray for these people, nor lift up a cry nor a prayer for them, nor make intercession to them, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem?" Let me paraphrase that verse for potential American application. It says, "Therefore, do not I pray for the Americans, nor lift up a cry or a prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see the burdensome biblical boundaries their Supreme Court has crossed over in the city of the Washington, D.C.? The sale of abortion, baby body parts by Planned Parenthood of the Pacific Southwest, and the gay pride parades in the streets of San Francisco and San Diego? So I ask, will America have a Nineveh or a Jerusalem experience? You know, is it possible that the historical example of Nineveh could be repeated in America? That is, if indeed America is headed for a disaster. Could America receive a similar pardon from the Lord? The answer is yes, but the Lord does not issue get out of jail free cards like the game of Monopoly. You know, America has its leaders most certainly emulate the actions of Nineveh in order for the Lord to repent from destroying the nation. You know, I'm not saying that America should stop praying for their country. That's not what I'm saying. Nor am I suggesting that America should become so desperate that they will someday eat their sons or their daughters. Sickening thought. In fact, Ezekiel said over here in Ezekiel 5 that it was a one-time episode for Judah that would not be repeated. I think we need to read that along with me over here in Ezekiel chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. In verse 9 it says, "And I will do among you," that is Jerusalem, "what I have never done, and like of which I will never do again, because of all your abominations. Therefore, fathers shall eat their sons in your midst, and sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgment among you. And all of you who remain, I will scatter to all the winds." So what is being asked of America to consider? Read with me Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Give you a minute to turn there. And in verse 1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened." This is in Isaiah 59, verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Verse 4, "No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity." Dropping down to verse 13, in transgression, in transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and utterly from the heart words of the falsehood. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the streets, and iniquity cannot enter, so truth fails. Does America have a national repentance forthcoming in the near future? Question you might ask. If the answer is yes, then America will most resemble forgiven Nineveh and Jeremiah 18:7-8 that reads, "In an instant I speak concerning the nation and concerning a kingdom, and pluck it up, pull it down, and to destroy it, and that nation again, whom I have spoken, turn from its evil. I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it." And if the answer is no, then what? Well, then, at the very least, the Lord will no longer bless this nation. Only God who knows the end from the beginning knows America's final verdict. So in closing, we are told in Isaiah 46, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the ends from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures." Isaiah 46:9-10. With that, I will turn services over to Mr.